Hey, welcome back, everybody. We are still the Hanshin Tigers, and we're still Ichiban. This is H10, Hanshin Tigers English News. I'm your host, T-Ray, and along with me this week is...
Mike Pombicki, as always. Well, except for last week.
All right. Welcome back, Mike. It's good to have you back. Sorry we missed you last week, but it's always good to hear your voice, and it's good to chat Tigers with you. How are you doing?
I'm good. I was kind of bummed out last week. I couldn't join the show. I did listen to it. It was great. I enjoyed it. So I'm back, and then one day all three of us and maybe more are going to get together and put together a really great show. So let's knock this one out of the park tonight. So
yeah, for sure, man. So it was good to have Michael on last week. Unfortunately, he's not able to join us this week, but he said he'll be back next week. So there's a good chance there'll be three of us.
Sounds good.
All right, folks, tonight it is August the 16th, 2015, Sunday night for us. Hopefully you'll be catching this soon afterwards, but on tonight's show, we're going to talk about the week that was with the Tigers. They faced the Dragons for three and the Swallows for three. Then we're going to go through our players of the week. We're going to talk a little WADA, and then we're going to talk about the Tigers pitching staff and who the true ace of the 2015 Hanshin Tigers is. And after that, we'll see what happens time-wise. We might go into some more stuff. If not, we'll talk about next week's lineup, the matchups. And that'll be a wrap. So stay tuned. We're going to be with you in just a second here. Alright, here we go, folks. Let's get into it. They face the Dragons at Kyocera Dome this week. The Dragons, by the way, are the last place team in the Central, and they've really struggled, especially since the All-Star break. And the Tigers brought in veteran Atsushi Nomi as the starter of the first game of the series, and he actually did quite a good job in that game. But the Tigers, for their part, in the first inning, started on fire. It was almost like the first game of the two-game set that they played in Nagoya at the end of July, where they just went on that barrage in the third inning. Because Toritani got a double, Yamato got a single, Gomez knocked in Toritani, Merton got a single, and then Arai hit a two-run RBI double. It wasn't fluky at all, but it kind of just got past the first baseman. It was like a hard, sharp grounder. And it was kind of an interesting play where Arai actually kind of called ahead to Merton and said, hey, take third. And then they both took off for the extra base. So they got three in the bottom of the first, gave a nice lead to Nomi. And Nomi just kind of set things in cruise control. I mean, he allowed a run in the fourth on two hits. But other than that, through his eight innings, he never allowed more than one hit in any other inning. Didn't walk a single other guy. Went eight innings, one earned run. And just pitched a gem of a game and left it up to everybody's favorite closer, Oh Soon Fan, or Oh Sung Hwan. I'm not sure how exactly we say it in English. But he allowed a leadoff single, and then he shut the door on them. And so 3-1 was the final score in that first game. Great way to start the series. Moving along to game two. It was Randy Messenger on the mound for us, and that was the game that, like I said, I was able to attend at Kyocera Dome. It was my first time in the Dome, and it was a lot of fun. I was four rows back from the protective net around the field, really close to third base, and so I got a great view of things. So Messenger was up against their import pitcher, Valdez, and... actually, in this one, Messenger, again, was in control right from the start. Two perfectly clean innings to start things. And even through four innings, he allowed just one single. So he was just doing incredibly well. And for their part, the Tigers actually got their first run of the game in the third inning. And Messenger played a big part in that. Actually, Fuji hit a triple, his first one in 4 years. little stub of a man actually rounded second and made it to third safely, and then Messenger hit him in his first RBI of the season. So he gave himself a lead, you know, and this is a guy that, you know, we've kind of talked a little bit about this before, Mike, about his lack of run support. And here we go. I mean, he had to generate that first run on his own. And those are the first two hits of the games for the game for the Tigers. And they actually threw six innings, only managed five hits and a walk. So they only had six base runners and just the one run. Unfortunately, Messenger allowed a run in the sixth inning as well. So things tied up when he walked a guy with one out, allowed a single to left. So the runners were on first and third, and he induced a grounder. And unfortunately, they weren't able to turn a double play. It was kind of a weak grounder, so there just wasn't enough time. And the runner from third scored on that ground ball. So Messenger left the game after six. His pitch count was up to 115, and he was on short rest, and his turn was up in the order in the bottom of the sixth. And so they brought in a pinch hitter for him. So he got a no decision, unfortunately. He didn't get the win or the loss. But in the eighth inning, Toritani got a two-out double. And then pinch hitter Katsuhiko Saka. Anybody out there know that name? No, I didn't think so. Hit a triple to bring Toritani home, 2-1 Tigers. And then the next guy up was Fukudome, and he hit a double to bring Saka home, 3-1 Tigers. And that's all she wrote, because our closer came in for the second straight night and shut the door. Three up, three down this time with a strikeout. And so 3-1 again was the final for the Tigers in game two of that series. Then game three, we brought our young guy Akiyama to the mound. And he actually did a great job. It's amazing, you know, Mike, we've been talking, you know, we talked, I think it was last week. No, it was 2 weeks ago. It was me and you, wasn't it? We talked about who the fifth and sixth starters should be.
Right.
Yeah. And I remember we talked about that, and I said Iwasada and somebody else. Anyways, I think Akiyama came up, but Iwazaki was one that you had mentioned as well, and I was kind of down on him. But, you know, these are two guys that have really come through. Akiyama and Iwazaki have really come through. And, you know, Akiyama pitched seven innings. But he went six clean innings, allowing only three hits and no walks. And then finally in the seventh, they got to him with, he walked a guy with one out and then allowed a double, which scored a run. But he allowed only one run through seven innings. And once again, unfortunately, the Tigers were unable to produce more than one run while he was on the mound. So he left with a no decision as well. Gomez hit a second inning monster home run to left field. And then in the seventh, in the bottom of the seventh, Gomez led off with a walk. Merton got a hit, his third of the game, and then Shunsuke got a hit. It was an infield hit, and so the bases were loaded with no outs. And here was a great chance to give Akiyama a win. But a ground out, a strikeout, and a ground out later, no runs for the Tigers in the seventh. Akiyama gets no decision. Fortunately, I remember at that time thinking, man, they really blew a big chance, but I love the way this team fights, and I kind of felt like something good was going to happen in the eighth. And in fact, it did. Once again, I believe it was with two outs. Kano came in as a pinch hitter and hit a huge blast to left field, home run, 2-1 Tigers, followed by a Gomez hit, a Merton hit, a Shunsuke walk, and then an Imanari double, RBI double, 4-1 Tigers, and then the inning ended with a grounder, but 4-1 was enough, obviously. Once again, our Korean closer came in. This time he kind of struggled a bit, allowed a hit and a walk, but he did pitch a shutout inning. So 4-1 was the final, and the Tigers swept the Dragons three straight. How did you like that, Mike? How did you enjoy that series?
I tell you what, it was a great series to really, you know, tune into and pay attention to, because it was tie games. And when Valdez gave up that hit to Saka, I think he gave it up to Saka. It was a triple. When he gave that up, of course, like you said, Saka, whoever heard of the guy, you know, we've seen him, but haven't seen much of him.
Yep.
It was just like a staple, man. It's like this team just fights to the end. And that's, I think I've said this before, is this team fights to the end. And I love it about them. So great series. I mean, we got to win games. That's it. Doesn't matter if they're a weak team or a strong team. We got to win games. And these guys showed us that they're going out there, and whether it's, you know, a one run, you know, one run deficit or a 5-run deficit, they're going to keep playing to the end. And that's what's great.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt, man. No doubt. I was really impressed, and I really felt like they needed to sweep this series just because they were facing a weaker opponent. And I thought, you know what, they really need to take advantage of this. They're playing at home. It's the middle of their big road trip of death. And so they need to really just come through with, you know, some good wins. And they did. So it was great. I really loved it. All right, let's talk about the Swallows series that ended tonight and opened on Friday night. We brought our young guy Fujinami to the mound. And it was a rainy night in Tokyo. And so we actually brought our bats this game. But we actually did not score any runs in the first two innings. However, the Yakult Swallows did. Fujinami walked a guy in the first. And then after that, in this, he got three straight outs, which is great. But then in the second, he really struggled. He allowed two hits, got two outs, and then he walked two guys. So he brought in a run on a walk, which is really not a pretty way to do things. So 1-0 lead for the Swallows. But like I said, we brought our bats, and Egoshi came through the first guy in the third inning. You know, top of the third, Egoshi comes up, another blast to left. It seems like all the home runs are going to left field these days. But Egoshi with a huge hit, and this guy, when he gets RBIs, the Tigers win. It's amazing. So the parade kind of continued. They got a couple more hits this inning, but they didn't get any runs because the Swallows starter, Furuno, who's really not even known to strike guys out that much, struck out the side. He got three strikeouts that inning to get out of a bit of a jam. But also then in the bottom of the third, the Swallows picked up another run. This time, Fujinami did once again walk a couple guys, but what did him in was that he threw a wild pitch and they scored on that. So it was a 2-1 lead now for the Swallows. But again, in the top of the fourth, speaking of fighting back and fighting back, here come the mighty, mighty Tigers. Gomez walk, Merton walk. A couple of outs later, you got a Tsuruoka double scoring Gomez. Pardon me, it wasn't a walk for Gomez. It was he got hit by a pitch. But Tsuruoka hit him in with a double. And then Fujinami comes to the dish. He knocks in Merton and Tsuruoka with his double. So now all of a sudden, they go from being down 2-1 to being up 4-2. Top of the fifth, they score another run, this time on a Gomez single. So now all of a sudden, it's 5-2, and we're having a great time. Top of the eighth, we get another run, this time on an Imanari double. Now it's 6-2. Our relief came in. Fujinami, by the way, pitched 7 innings, struck out 7 guys, walked 5, but all of those came in the first 3 innings, and after that, he really settled in nicely. But our relief came in, and man, did we ever go through a lot of relievers to finish this game. Sayuchi, Takamiya, Ando, Iwamoto, and that was just to get through the 8th and to start the 9th poorly. We got 4 relievers to do that, and because things were looking real ugly... by the way, the Swallows scored a run that went on Sayuchi's record. But we got through the 8th, allowing just 1 run, and then we scored another in the 9th, Fukudome RBI single. And then when Iwamoto got in trouble in the top of the 9th, allowing 2 straight hits, again our closer came in, and bam, 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 3 strikeouts. 3 guys, 3 strikeouts. Game over, 7-3 Tigers. So the winning streak is up to 6 games at this point. The lead in the Central is 2.5 on the Giants and 3.5 on the Swallows. So it's looking good. But then we go into Saturday night, and Iwata, who's coming off of 10 days rest, comes in. And we're going up against their guy, Tateyama, who's really not having a great season, actually spent a lot of time injured, and I really thought the key to this game was get to him early, because I don't know if you know this, Mike, but the Swallows relievers are great, so I figured if we don't score early, we're not going to score.
Right.
And what happened was Iwata came in and pitched really well for 3 innings. He was perfect. And then in the 4th, he got into some trouble. He allowed 3 hits. He threw a wild pitch. Allowed runs. Pardon me, 2 runs scored. One was, I believe, a wild pitch, and the other, I think, was on a double play grounder. So 2-0 for the Swallows, and we got one back in the 5th. Came on an Egoshi ground out. I think it was a bases loaded ground out, and he beat out the double play. So we scored a run. So he got an RBI, but unfortunately his streak ended here of games where the Tigers win and he gets an RBI. Because in the bottom of the 5th, again, Iwata got into trouble, allowed another run on a ground out, allowed another run on a wild pitch. And that was the end of his game. After 5 innings, he allowed 4 runs. So it's 4-1 when he left the game. And things were pretty quiet until the 8th inning when we brought in our, I guess at this point it would be our second reliever of the game. We brought in Iwamoto. He faced 3 guys, allowed 1 hit, walked 2 guys. All of them came in to score because Takamiya came in after that, faced 4 guys, allowed 4 hits. So no outs between the two of them, but 5 runs came in to score. So that was 9-1. Young Yamamoto came in and closed off that inning, fortunately allowing no more runs. I think he allowed a hit, which scored some runs, but he didn't get charged with the runs. Anyways, 9-1 was the final score in that one. A terrible, ugly game for the Tigers. The winning streak was over, and that's that. But today, we came back with Iwazaki on the mound, and this is a guy that it seems like with every start, he's getting a little bit more confident, and I think really that the key with him is timing with pulling him, and they pulled him at the right time tonight. He went 6 innings, allowed only 3 hits, 1 unearned run, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. Only walked 1 guy, plunked another guy, but 5 base runners over 6 innings. Great job by Iwazaki. So this game started, and before I even had my TV turned on, 3 pitches into the game, Toritani hit a leadoff home run that went off the right field foul pole, 1-0 after 1 inning. And then things were pretty quiet until the 3rd inning, the Swallows got their 1 run. It was an unearned run when a ground ball kind of looked like it went right through Toritani's glove and trickled into left field, and they scored a run. Kind of a bummer of a way to allow a run, but it was a tie until the 6th inning, when Toritani walked. Yamato made like an awesome bunt. We're going to talk bunts in a little bit, but it was a surprise bunt, kind of, he didn't actually line up for the bunt, and all of a sudden he just kind of squeezed it in there. And so he dashed off to first, and his bunt went kind of found the hole nicely. And so when they threw to first, he dove in head first, and the throw was a bit errant. He was safe. They called it a hit. Toritani advanced to 3rd. Runners on 1st and 3rd, and Fukudome hit a 3-run blast to right field. So we got 2 right field home runs tonight. Scores 4-1. 7th inning, we got another run. This time, Kano hit an RBI double, and that was after an Imanari hit, followed by a failed bunt by Shunsuke, and then a successful bunt by Fuji. Told you we'd talk bunts later. So 5-1, and then in the 8th, Yamato came up again, got a hit, and Fukudome got an RBI double to left field, and the score was 6-1. And again, in the 9th, we had huge opportunities. We had the bases loaded with no outs, but, lately, with the way that's been going with the Tigers, right? Bases loaded, no outs, so we got no runs. But it didn't matter. 6-1, final score. The 9th inning was a little bit eventful because we walked a couple guys before we finally got out of the inning. And Yamamoto came in again and bailed out Sayuchi, who was struggling. Sayuchi walked 2 guys, but Yamamoto came in and shut things down. So it was kind of cool. So 6-1 final score. The Tigers ended the week 5 wins, 1 loss. And Mike, if you listened last week, you know who predicted 5-1.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? When I was listening to that segment and it came down to you and Michael predicting, what it was going to be, in my head, I was like, 5-1, I think is a pretty good way. And then you said it, and I'm like, okay. And I think I even, sent you a message like, I was going to say 5-1, and I agree with you. And maybe that's why you went 5-1, because I agreed with you. I don't know. Because, I'm positive, so.
Because you're saying that the week before I blew my call when I said 2-4 and they went 4-2. Well, anyways, everybody gets a mulligan, and that was mine.
That's right. You're good.
So Anyways, yeah, it was a happy week for all, you know, 5 wins and 1 loss. You really can't complain about that at all. And the Tigers' lead in the Central now is 3.5 over both the Swallows and the Giants. So that's the biggest lead that they've had all season. And it's actually the biggest lead in the Central, the biggest lead in the Central League in, man, I can't even remember the last time it was this big of a lead. It's probably been at least 6 weeks, if not more.
Wow.
So good stuff. So Mike, let's talk player of the week. Tell me who you liked this week or what you saw that impressed you, and give us some reasons. Let's hear what you got.
Well, you know, this week, 5-1. That's great. You know, one bad game, that's okay. You know, no big deal. I mentioned before to you, Cano hits a home run, has energy that could probably, you know, just light up an entire, you know, district in Tokyo. I mean, the guy hits one home run, he's going crazy. You got pitchers doing good things. You got hitters hitting. Comes down to one person, me. Oh, and the game that the reason I pick Oh is not because I'm, you know, I'm biased, but when Iwamoto's struggling and he puts a runner on first and third, no outs, Oh came in there, went 1-2-3, sent the side down, game over. And I'm just sitting there going, that is the reason why we got Oh on this team, is because he is going to come in there. He's going to shut it down. He's going to save the game. That's what his job is to do. It's to save it. He might give up a run or two, but he's going to save that game for us. And so that's who I got to choose. Again, a lot of players had a lot of energy, like Cano and Saka and, you know, Fukudome, Gomez, Merton, all those guys. You know, I think a couple going 3-for-3. But again, if we take Oh out of the equation, do we win those games? No. So that's my player of the week.
Well, you know, we might have won half of the games that we won, half of those four that he saved. Well, but you know, that's the difference between a 5-1 week and a 3-3 week. So, yeah, sure. I mean, if you look at it that way, I can't really disagree with you. And quite honestly, for all the flack that O takes, and for every time that he gives us ulcers and cardiac arrest and all that stuff, I mean, this is a guy that is, like we've said before, man, nothing fazes this guy. And he came back from having a pretty rough week last week. This week, he went 4 straight games of shutting them down completely, allowed no runs. I think he allowed 3 hits in his 4 innings, which is really nothing. So, yeah, good job. Hats off to O, for sure. And I'm actually going to go someplace completely different than you with that. And I'm actually going to talk about two guys that you didn't mention. The first one is Yamato, who I feel like maybe we should have mentioned last week a little bit, because he came in when Uemoto got hurt. Uemoto's got a fractured hip bone. And the good news on him is it looks like he's going to be coming back a bit earlier than expected, or at least he's going to be playing on the farm possibly as early as the 18th, which is Tuesday. So that's exciting. But anyways, Yamato's come in and played second base, and he's only made one little mistake at second. He's fielding really well there, and actually he's been hitting the ball like a maniac too. In this series, he got 4 hits on Friday, this past series, and he got 3 hits today. He's stolen some bases. He actually blew one today, but that's okay. So he's my honorable mention, or my runner-up. But actually, I'm going to go with Imanari, the third baseman, who has not played full-time. I think he played in 4 of the 6 games. But his batting average this week was pretty good. He went 7-for-16, I believe, with 3 RBI. And this is a guy that, up until this week, had only 6 RBI in the season. So he got, you know, 1.5 times his total now. He's got 9 RBI in the season. But, you know, even during the times when he didn't score runs or get RBIs, I mean, he was just giving the team chance upon chance. And the game that they lost, man, they lost 9-1. But I don't know if you remember this. They left 14 guys on base that game. 14. And I think he got 3 hits that game. So he was stranded 3 times that game. But anyways, Imanari has been hitting the ball like crazy, giving the team great production from the bottom half of the order, which they've been sorely needing all year. And not only that, the guy is just unbelievable on defense. I really think that he is far and away the best third baseman we've got, especially when he's hitting the ball. And he made an outstanding play today at third base as well. So my player of the week, Ryota Imanari. I hope he keeps it up. I really like the energy he brings. And so congratulations to number 49. And also to number 22. Oh, good job for him too. Those are our players of the week. What do you guys think? If you've got any opinions, you know, hit us up with an email or give us some thoughts. Who's your player of the week? All right, we're going to move on to our next segment, which last week I believe I named What a Mess or What a Disaster. And I'm going to continue on that. I'm going to call it What a Disaster this week. And, you know, if you want to, Mike, you can call it something else. This is my take on WADA for this week. You know, when a team goes 5-1, it's hard to find much to criticize the manager about. And actually, what I'm going to bring up is really nothing new. I really feel like the bunt has just got to go, because I'm going to give you some specific instances where it just really did not do anything. First one comes Saturday night when Iwata came up to the plate, and I don't remember the exact inning. I could look it up if you'd like. But Iwata comes to the plate and they call bunt. Okay, normally, you know, if you're asking your pitcher to bunt, it's not a bad decision. There you go. It was the fourth inning after a Tsuruoka leadoff single. But Iwata is terrible at bunting. He has been at least since last year when I started watching the team, and he just can't lay it down. And again, he popped up his bunt and it was basically a wasted at bat. So I really think that WADA should not have called on Iwata to bunt there. Let him swing the bat, man. What's the worst that's going to happen? And then tonight, in tonight's game, in the 7th or 8th inning, remember I talked about the failed bunt and then the successful bunt. That, I think, was a mistake as well. That was kind of a disaster. So Shunsuke came up, bunted, but failed. And then Fuji came up and actually laid down his bunt successfully. But basically, they wasted 2 outs to move a guy forward, 1 base. And then Kano came in and hit a double. So, you know, you got Shunsuke on first base. Are you telling me he wouldn't have scored from first on a double by Kano?
Oh, he would have scored.
So they wasted two... Pardon me?
I said, oh, yeah, he would have scored.
Yeah, for sure. So they wasted 2 outs getting a guy 1 base forward when the score at that point was already 4-1. So they're up 3 runs. Man, go for the gusto, you know? I just don't get the timing of the bunts. So that's my What a Disaster of the Week. What you got, Mike?
Well, you know, I can't disagree with you on bunts. You know, tonight, Fuji gets up there. You know, bunt, there's a foul. Bunt, there's a foul. And I'm like, man, just let this guy hit. And of course, there's a pause there, and Fuji gets up. Bam, base hit. I'm like, man, this is great, you know? And I can't remember which game it was. There was a bunt. Someone laid down a bunt, and it went right between the pitcher and the third baseman. Ended up as a base hit. So you kind of got... Yeah, there's going to be those times where, you know, you bunt, perfect. And then there's like, pop, bunt, pop, bunt. It's like, all right, stop. Nope, they go for the third one, there's the out.
Have you got anything else, any other kind of What a Disaster, or are you going to go What a Wonderful World on us?
I tell you, I'm positive I'm going to stay in my What a Wonderful World. I mean, I think to myself, what a wonderful world. This week alone, again, week by week here, I have no complaints with WADA. I think if I was to really pull one out of my sleeve is, yeah, let's not bring in Iwata. I mean, I'm sorry, not Iwata. Let's not bring in Iwamoto anytime soon for things because, you know, he still needs some practice. That's probably the only downside I could look at WADA this week, bringing in Iwamoto and trusting him to do something. And unfortunately... You know, nothing was done. So, but this week, I think WADA did a pretty good job, you know, managing the team. The team did obviously a great job coming back from being down and getting the wins. So this week,
yeah,
WADA's wonderful. Again, we still got a whole week to go. So we'll see what we have in store for, you know, the podcast next week.
Yeah, for sure. Well, okay, I'll just make a couple comments on what you said there. Interestingly, first of all, as you remember from last week's show, I actually named Iwamoto as one of my co-players of the week, him and Saiuchi. And this week, both of them had terrible weeks, man. Mm. And so as a result then, with Iwamoto, you said they you hope they don't plug him in anytime soon. Well, he's down on the farm for at least 10 days, so don't worry about that. So at least for the next six-game series plus maybe the next three-pack, he's not even coming up. So, yeah, you can breathe easy there. Yeah. So speaking of pitchers, man, you know, I've been thinking about it this week. I really want to kind of talk about the Tigers and, you know, a lot of the commentators and journalists and stuff talk about our big four and how we've got our four kind of pillars as starting pitchers. And it got me thinking that, you know, who is the stud? Because usually a team's got one great stud and then maybe three other backups or whatever, like whether you're talking major league team or even NPB team, there's usually one guy that stands out. And so I was thinking about it, you know, with the Tigers, we've got, I'll do this kind of in age order, maybe. You know, we've got Nomi, who now is 36 years old, but he's been depended on for years and years with this team. I think he's in his 11th season, and for, I believe, 8 straight, he had an ERA of under 2.5. So he was just outstanding. And last year, he struggled a little bit. This year, he started off really poorly, but he's really turned things around, and he's had 4 really good starts in a row. You know, he's gone 7 or 8 innings and allowed 2 or fewer runs, not walking a lot of guys and getting a decent amount of strikeouts. So Nomi is one of them. And then you've got Randy Messenger, who's just turned 34 this past week. His birthday was on Thursday. So happy birthday, Randy. And as you know, with Randy Messenger, he has led the Central League in strikeouts for 2 straight seasons. And he was tied for the league lead in wins last season as well. So this is a guy that obviously has proven himself a workhorse. He's in his 6th season with the team. And this year even, you know, up until May 11th, his ERA was 5.88. It's down to 3 now. And since coming back to the team on May the 29th, I believe it was, his ERA is sitting around 1.5 for, you know, 2.5 months now. So he's showing outstanding leadership and dominance on the mound. Then you've got Minoru Iwata, who is probably the least of the four, at least in most people's eyes, but he's also been pretty steady up until lately. I would say up until Interleague ended, he was pretty steady. Kept keeping his ERA at or under 3, including last year. And just always going out there and putting in his 6, 7, 8 innings of work. So he's a steady guy. And then the fourth guy is young Shintaro Fujinami, who is 21 years old. And actually on Friday night, he became the first pitcher in NPB since Daisuke Matsuzaka in 2001 to record double-digit victory totals in his first 3 seasons out of high school. Kind of a long mouthful, but pretty impressive. You know, first pitcher in 14 years to do something. That's pretty cool. This is also a guy that is currently leading the Central League in strikeouts. He was also the All-Star Game MVP, and he became the youngest All-Star Game MVP, I believe, in the history of the game. So, you know, he's also the first pitcher in the Central League this year to reach 10 wins. So, you know, you've got cases for at least 3 of our 4 pitchers to be the true ace of the team in 2015. Now, I don't want to talk about aces past or the ace of the future. I want to talk about right here, right now, Mike. Who do you think the Tigers' ace is?
The Tigers' ace, Messenger. I mean,
not even hesitating.
No, I'm not. You know, this is, and the way I see it, you know, Messenger gets out on the mound. He's just dominating the other team. That's all there is to it. He dominates. You know, and it's very tough to hit against him. You know, the only downside that we have is that we only score like 1 or 2 runs for him. You know, so we make his job very difficult to do. And I know you said don't say future past, but I'll say for right now, I think Randy Messenger is our ace. When he steps away, mm-hmm. we have Fujinami, who's going to be our ace. Fujinami is amazing. This kid is on fire. I mean, what a great pitcher to just sit there and watch. And you can see he puts his heart into every single pitch. He's starting to kind of show his emotions a little bit, which I think is going to be great for this team later on. But mm-hmm. right now, Iwata's starting to struggle, in my eyes. He's starting to struggle. Nomi, like you said, he's getting older. You know, he's really good this year. I mean, he's 36 years old. He's good. You know, he's a really good pitcher. But I still think Messenger's the one to go out there. And if there's like, man, do we need a win? We put Messenger on the mound. And like I said, if we could give him the run support he deserves, we win that game. And that to me shows dominance. It shows that he's the ace of the team. That's my choice.
A 7-9 pitcher is the ace of the team, huh?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean,
interesting.
6'6", 240. I mean, that's an NFL quarterback right there. And he throws the baseball, how can I say it, physically and mentally to the batters. I mean, he could really screw them up if we got a good lead, you know, but obviously you can't do that if we're behind. But,
well, you know, when it's left up to him to generate his own offense, as he did on Wednesday, obviously, yeah, there is a problem sure. with things. Now, I'm going to run some numbers by you, Mike. And before I do that, though, I'm just going to say this. I actually agree with you. I was just kidding about the 7-9 thing or expressing doubt. Messenger is the staff ace, and I'm going to give you some reasons for it. And actually, before I do that, I'm going to give you reasons that it's not Fujinami. I'm going to throw Nomi aside just because I believe that we can all agree that he was the staff ace. He's lost a little bit, and you know, he's on a good roll here, but last year's 3.99 ERA doesn't cut it, and this year's 3.4, also not ace material, but he is very dependable, and I really like the guy. So let's talk about why it's not Fujinami right now. I think I've mentioned this before on my blog, but I'll say it here as well. The guy does not have that pitch that he can get out of jams with. He's got a great fastball, and he's got other great pitches. He really does, and he strikes out a lot of guys. But what happens is when you're going after the strikeout too much, your pitch count gets too high. We've seen that in his last two or three outings where I think it was the last time that he played at Koshien, he took 47 pitches to get out of the first inning of the game. And he was, again, I think he was sitting around 80 pitches after four innings just on Friday night. So he just doesn't quite have the efficiency to be an ace. I really want to see him be able to throw a complete game in about 100 to 110 pitches, and he just doesn't have that right now because he goes after the strikeout too much. And the result is, as we saw even this past Friday, 5 walks. If you're trying to strike guys out, it means you're nibbling at corners, you're trying to get them to swing at bad pitches, or you're trying to get them to look at good pitches. And when you do that, inevitably you're going to walk too many guys. So Fujinami, I think he's got another year or two to really be able to fine-tune his game. But that kid, I'll tell you, man, the Tigers need to do everything they can to keep him, because he's not just going to be the ace of the Tigers in the future. He's going to be the ace of NPB if he keeps things up. I really believe he's got a bright future. But right now, like you said, Randy Messenger is the guy that you want to call on. And I was almost going to make my what a disaster the fact that he pulled Randy after six innings the other night. And the reason is this, I'll tell you this. If you need a guy, if you need one of your starters to hold a lead or to hold a team for just one more inning to hang in tough, Randy's the guy. I don't think, since he's come back May 29th, I don't think he's ever been pulled from any of his starts partway through an inning. And that cannot be said of any other Tigers starter. All of them have been pulled partway through an inning when they struggled. Randy's the only guy that's finished clean at the end of an inning in each of his starts since he came back. So that, to me, is the sign of a true dominant pitcher. Another thing is this, and you mentioned it, and I'm going to throw some numbers at us just so that we can make this real clear. Randy Messenger is not getting enough run support, and that's the reason that he's sitting right now at 7 wins and 9 losses. I'll give you this, Mike. There's 16 pitchers listed as qualifying for the ERA title in the Central League right now. 16 pitchers, okay? Guess where Randy Messenger ranks as far as run support on that list.
Oh, good Lord. 14th.
Try 16th. Dead last. The best run support this year for one of those 16 pitchers is Kuroda of the Carp. He's getting 4.58 runs.
Wow.
Messenger is getting less than half of that. 2.19. And get this, Mike. The number 15 guy on the list for the Chunichi Dragons, he's getting 3.14. So he's getting almost a full run more run support than Randy. Randy is getting a full run less than the 15th ranked guy. So, I mean, he's probably going to be in 16th until the end of the season, no matter what happens. And that's the reason he's sitting at 7 wins you know, it's really unfair. We've seen him lose 1-0 games where he allowed one run, or even 1-0 games where he allowed nothing, and then the relief came in and allowed one run. So it's just been terrible luck for Randy as far as getting support. But the guy has just been reliable. You know, I said let's not talk about the past, but he has been reliable in the past, and he has been incredibly reliable since coming back from his time on the farm. So, yeah, without a doubt, I'll agree with you. Randy is the ace of the 2015 Hanshin Tigers staff, and I'd like to see him be the ace for 2016 as well, man. I mean, don't have anything against Fujinami, but I just want to keep rooting for Randy.
Well, yeah, I mean, I always, you know, one of the first things I see, like I always mention on here, is that every time I see that Messenger's on the mound, oh, Messenger's money, man. This is a W. I'll just read comments because, you know, the comments are great, and I don't have to worry about what's going on because I know how Randy's going to be on the mound. And, you know, if I could sit there on the page and just rant, you know, I really would like to. However, we don't have that kind of audience here. We need runs for this guy. That's how can our ace pitcher not get the support that he needs? I mean, I know he is committed to this team. I've read those, you know, stories, and he's committed to the team. Team's committed to him. Obviously, they saw struggles. They helped him fix it. You know, so there's that mutual mm-hmm. understanding here that, hey, it's, you know, we're in there together. And good Lord, I don't know what it is, but two runs a game for this guy is not going to allow him to be more flexible, I guess, with his pitching to the batters. It's going to have him stuck in one area where here I go again in my groove, and, you know, I can't really mess with these guys like I could if I had a 4-run lead. So, yeah. That's rough. But, you know, that's what it is for right now. And I agree, in the future, yep, it's going to be there next year. This year, it's going to be Randy Messenger. But I want to make sure you understand there was a bases loaded issue with Fujinami, and he actually struck out, I think, maybe the last two batters to get out of that jam. So just a little indication of what he's capable of doing if he's able to kind of, you know, get that pitch or get those pitches down, you know, a little bit better.
Yeah, for sure. Well, hey, just one more thing as we wrap this segment up. Fujinami's run support is up at 4.25. He's top on the Tigers staff and fourth in the Central League where that goes. And last season, if we look at those numbers, Fujinami got 5.85 runs of support and Messenger got 4.15. So Messenger got a lot more last year, but so did Fujinami. So I don't know what it is, man. It just seems like when Fujinami's on the mound, the bats come to life because it's not him generating all those runs. Although, you know, whenever Fujinami does get an RBI, the team wins. He's undefeated in games in which he gets an RBI, which, hey, good for him. Anyways, Mike, it looks like we're kind of running low on time, so we're just going to move ahead to predictions for the upcoming week. As I was telling you before the show, we're going into Tokyo Dome for Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday for a 3-game set against the third place, Yomiuri Giants. Again, third place, haha. And hopefully they will either stay there or move even further down. I'd love to see them miss the playoffs. So we got three there, and then we come back to Osaka, back to Kyocera Dome, and we got a 3-game set against the Yokohama DeNA Bay Stars. So 6 games again this upcoming week. They're all being played in the Dome, so it doesn't matter, rain or shine, we're getting 6 games. Mike, what's your prediction? How are the Tigers going to fare this upcoming week?
I was hoping you'd go first, but I'll go. The Giants are tough. You know, if you remember, I think on our first podcast, I predicted them to take first place. Kind of eating my words right now. So with this upcoming week, the Giants are tough. They got Mickelson on the mound. Boy, this is tough.
Yeah, they got Michaelis, and then they're also probably going to bring Sugano, and they might bring either Poreda, or they might bring Utsumi is the one who pitched the middle game of their last series last week. Their first series of last week. So it might be Michaelis, Utsumi, and Sugano. And Michaelis and Sugano are incredible pitchers.
Sure. I agree. I say 4-2. I think we lose one against Tokyo. I don't think we're going to lose two against Tokyo. I think we're going to lose one. And the Bay Stars are, you know, it just depends. I mean, there's times where, you know, you're going to catch the batters off guard. And then there's those games where it's like, good Lord, you know, let's just intentionally walk them. So I'm going to say 4-2 for this upcoming week. I think we lose one game in each series.
Okay, so 2-1, 2-1. All right, sounds good. Man, I always struggle with this because I don't want to get too high on my horse, or I don't want to like overestimate the Tigers, and I don't want to underestimate them either. You know what though? I'm actually going to go 3-3. Just for something different. I was thinking 4-2 or 3-3, but I'm going to go 3-3. The Giants are struggling, but I kind of feel like we're going into their barn. We're going up against two of their better pitchers. I think we might go 1-2 in that series, unfortunately. I'd love to see it go the other way or even a sweep. And then I think we'll take 2 out of 3 from the Bay Stars. They are a really good hitting team, and they're a really poor pitching team. So if our bats can actually come to those games, we should be able to take at least 2. So I'm going to go 3-3. And just on a side note, Mike, I was doing a little bit of looking stuff up, and I noticed that the Tigers on heading into interleague play were 21-25-0, 4 games below .500. And their record now, is 57-49-1. So they're 8 games above .500. What that means is that since the start of interleague, they're 24-12-1, which means winning 2 out of 3 games pretty much. Pretty impressive. This team is on, it's not even just a short roll, man. This is really impressive stuff. Winning 2/3 of their games for a 36-game stretch. I like what I see from this team, man, and I look forward to more of it. I hope that at the end of next week, again, we can go in with the Hanshin Tigers Ichiban again, and we know they're Ichiban, man. Anyways, Mike, we are going to end the show now. We've kind of gone a little bit over time, but I hope that's okay with everybody out there. It's been great having you guys along. Thanks for listening, as always. We're still waiting for our first email, our first question, or our first comment actually sent to the show. Once again, you can contact us at the following email address. It's podcast@thehanshintigers.com. podcast@thehanshintigers.com. You can also hit us up with comments on the Facebook page, Hanshin Tigers English News. If you're not part of that already, please join. You can also find me on Twitter @thehanshintiger. No S on that. @thehanshintiger. All right, so feel free to contact us during the week. And Mike, I'm looking forward to the weeks ahead because I'm starting to get some prizes lined up. And so we're going to throw some contests at the folks as well. So look ahead for that as well. It's been great having you on the show tonight, Mike. Have you got any final words for the folks out there?
No, you know, I don't. It's been great. Yeah, and the prizes, I'm not going to even try to guess what they are, what could be. You know, just tune in and find out week by week as you know, the ball gets rolling here. Hey, stay positive. Just remember, closers are there to save the game. They give up a run, a two-run, you know, 2, 3, 4 runs, whatever, that's fine. As long as we get that W in the end. Okay, that's what closers do. We got to maintain our patience with, at times, and the rest of the relievers we have. So we'll be all right.
Well, thanks for coming to his rescue as he's come to our rescue. That's all the time we got for tonight, folks. Thanks again for tuning in. This is H10, T-Ray and Mike signing out. See you next week.